But I'm going to go ahead and get you up here because you had asked to address the class. Sorry, we don't have the mic.
Yo. Well, I put this off for a couple months, so I just got to do it. I had a lady come up to me in Bingham's funeral, and she came up to me and she said, I want you to know something. I thought, oh boy, here we go. She said, I've been to a lot of funerals for women, but I've never seen so many men. Oh. And I thought, that's what men do. That's what believing men do. And it was a week, holiday week, and a lot of people couldn't come, but did. And some people thought it was a legal conference. Had a lot of lawyers from my firm, my former firm, come. And so we were really blessed by your attendance and the attendance of those who don't belong to Briarwood. I would refer to Bingham's loss as a precision taking. There was no warning. And then I thought about the people in our church, men and women alike, who are losing their spouse incrementally over long periods of years. And then I thought about those who have been afflicted with sicknesses that's caused disability, living with it for years. And all of these people have what I've enjoyed for the last 2 months, is a body life that has reached out to me and my family. So I was reading a book somebody gave me. You know, when people die, you get a lot of books. And so I was reading one that was given to me by Dan Roberts, and it's 100 practical suggestions when you lose your spouse. And it's not very big, and I'm a slow reader, and I went through it in about 2 days. And one of the things that he says is, when you have situations like this, journal it. I don't journal anything. But I went back 3 years and started journaling. I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but as I went through it, I could see God's fingerprints all over the last 3 years. And so I just wanted to thank you for the many text messages, emails, cards, letters, phone calls, not just one, but multiple from the same people. And I feel the prayers. No question about it. And as I finished this journal, I had to conclude, how do people deal with these kind of situations without Christ? How do they do it? And how do they deal with it when their family's broken? And we have so many broken families. And then how do they deal with it when they don't have a church community like this? I talked to a guy who left Briarwood several years ago and went to another PCA church. And during the course of that conversation, he said, you know, the strength at Briarwood is in the adult Sunday school class. We pray for each other. We lift each other up. We touch each other that way. So if you think about me, keep praying. And I'm getting past the question of why. I'm trying to find out what's the purpose. And so pray that God will perform his transforming work in me, that I'll be sensitive to what he wants to do in my life. And then secondly, I would ask that the funeral and Bingham's life would have an incredible impact on the people who came. We had a lot of lost people at that funeral. And I'm getting letters from all over the country from people whose lives were impacted by one comment, maybe a gift or something that Bingham gave them for time. So pray that there's real fruit that comes from her life and that funeral. Thank you for praying.
Jim, can you give an example of a question somebody didn't make?
A question that's...
comment?
Yeah, I got a letter 2 weeks ago from a woman I don't know, but Bingham knew. And Bingham was an honoree in her wedding, and I don't know what that means. But anyway, she was an honoree. And so Bingham gave her an NIV Bible as a wedding gift. But she said to her, she said, I'm giving you this gift, but what I want you to do is I want you to read this book, and I want you to get involved in a Bible study in depth so it can improve your walk of faith. She was pregnant with our son, Hardy. That was 1986. I got a letter 2 weeks ago, 38 years later. She said, that gift and that admonition from her changed my walk of faith. She said, I have not only read that book, I've had it rebound.
I'm gonna pray specifically for Jim, and then we'll open the class. But Jim, thank you so much. Jim came to me this week and said he's been meaning to do it, wanted to do it, and we're talking today about Christian community, and it just fits, and I appreciate it so much. We'll talk about it more in a second, but let me pray and open. Lord, we are thankful for that testimony, that example of your love. It's just your personal love. As Rob said this morning, you are our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Very personal to Jim right now. And we pray for his encouragement. We do really pray for his encouragement and strength in all of the times up and down, and for the purpose. Because one fabulous thing about being a Christian is that these things that occur are not without purpose. And Bingham's life has already touched so many people, and I know in this season it will again. We will see people touched. I know from Jim's comments, some of the people that were at the funeral and came from out of state and were impacted by Bingham's life, and it's such an attractive living out of the gospel. So I know people will come to Christ and already have, clearly. So we pray for Jim and others going through very, very similar paths, even right now in this room. And just the many hardships that aren't that, but are deep to other people. Lord, all of us have something, and it's unfamiliar or even a familiar thing we wrestle with. But we need each other, and we need you, and we want it to glorify you. We want to be caught up in your gospel, caught up in glorifying you. But we know there's just times of weakness. We're just hanging on. And so I pray for this group. I have no idea what's going on in a group of this size, but I do know it's heavy at times. And so I pray for your presence in all of these and all of these lives. And thank you for our time this morning as we look at the topic of Christian community. It's the way you created us to be relational, and you set up the church to be the body of Christ, to be multiple people serving in different ways and giftedness. And Satan hates that and is going to try to keep that apart. So we just pray for your work in our lives and in our community, and just help us as we study it today. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So again, when Jim came to me, I was so appreciative of that. And I thought a picture paints 1,000 words, and a testimony can pretty much teach 1,000 lessons, some lessons. And so I really appreciate that. And that fits right into what we're talking about. We're Christian community is a topic that could cover many Sundays, but we're just taking one at this point and kind of talking about what it means as a whole Christian community and how we do it here in the Discovery class. I think Jim is very right, and the guy who's talking to you, that we have a strong Sunday school culture here at Briarwood, in a culture where a lot of churches aren't even doing Sunday school, but it helps us to break it down. I would say in small groups. This group's not small anymore, but we're going to try to work on that part of it. But
just to do Christian community well. So, hey, a lot of people aren't doing Christian community at all. I've read this week that 86 churches a week are closing. Did y'all heard that stat? There's a lot of different stats out there. 40 million people have left their religious affiliations in the last 25 years in the United States. 40 million. About a third of people who had religious affiliation membership. First time in Gallup polls, 80-decade history, people are self-reporting to be church members at less than 50%, 50% of our population. That's even just self-reporting their membership. So I just say that to, it's no surprise really, but to say that we're in a general, can y'all hear me? Am I being loud enough? I'm trying. A little bit. Okay. So one more time. They couldn't come and redo this, could they? Okay. I wish I'd have brought Jenny's megaphone from when she was a cheerleader. Y'all wish that too. Y'all would. So, you know, while, you know, at this point, I'm talking to people who are here. So that isn't the people we're talking to. I'm preaching literally to the choir with a lot of you. Wish John Haynes were here, but there's a lot of you literally preaching to the choir, but you're here. But I just want to dig a little deeper into how we do community here at the Discovery Class, the philosophy of it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then Roger Dobnikar is going to talk some more specifics about how some things that we're going to be doing here, which I really, really appreciate. But so it's really, I'm going to go into why we do what we do and then what we're doing. And then more, Roger will talk about how we're going to try to do it here. So, the verse that comes to mind for me, and I had to look up where it's from, 1 John 4:19 is, we love because he first loved us. We didn't just generate this idea and we don't generate the motivation. We love because he first loved us. And I like this angle. That's 1 John 4:19. And I flip back to verse 11, 1 John 4. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So that, I've never seen it that way. God, no one has seen God, but they've seen us and we see each other and the world sees us. The world sees this kind of community and his love is made complete through this kind of fellowship. And Jim's testimony is such an example of that. Like he feels the presence of God. I experienced it earlier this year. Y'all lived through this with me when I talked about it, but had a cancerous tumor in my left eye, was in radiation for, I had to be there 4 nights. They had to radiate the tumor for 96 hours. So you're in a radioactive part of the hospital. In fact, the radioactivity only came out about that far from my eye. So like it was safe, but it has big signs everywhere, radioactivity. I guess that's why people stayed away. Now that I'm thinking it, it just may be me. But this is really funny because my daughters, so there's a big radioactivity sign and like a warning, and they got me and Judy and my two daughters, and we took a selfie with that. So it's radioactivity. And Katie, that is the picture on our text stream, and it's called the nuclear family. Do not know where they get that. But it's so great. But during that period, I did have visitors and I had, during that period of time, I had calls, text, cards, letters, visits, and I kept up with them in my journal because they almost always had a Bible verse. And I said, every Bible verse, I'm going to take that as coming from the Lord. And I wrote it down and I looked it up and I tried to pray for those people. And I really did
feel the presence of God. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, then his love is complete. And so I think that is a really, really practical thing as to why we live like that and why we do that, why we want to do it intentionally. So there's the why. There's a lot of other things to say about it, but I'm going to move on to the what we do by looking at a familiar passage, Acts 4. Acts 2, excuse me. Acts 2, 40 through 47. Acts 2, 40 through 47. Very familiar passage, a go-to on the New Testament church. But I think we can use it in this context. So I'm going to read, there's a little preface, that 40 and 41, and then it talks about what the New Testament church did, how they lived. And as I read that part, you'll listen. What we're going to talk about is blessings and responsibilities of Christian community. Blessings and responsibilities. So be listening for what in there are blessings. You can categorize them anyway, but blessings or responsibilities. So Acts 2, starting at 40. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone in need, as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who had been saved, who were being saved. So what a, you know, again, familiar, don't lose it in the familiarity. I'm going to kind of put these as we view them in the discovery class, and then I want to talk about a few specifics. But when we think about the class, we have the two components. We have Sunday mornings, and then we have during the week. And so the centrality of the teaching of the Word of God, the leadership of this class takes very seriously getting the Word of God taught well, maybe not right at this second, but we have Jim Alexander coming up this fall, don't we? Are you on? that's how serious we take it. We do. And, but gosh, we've had Bruce, Jim Carlson, we just have great Rob Looper, Rob Jennon, the list, Glenn Draper. I love the teaching, but we really try to make a centrality of the Word of God, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is something that we really work on. And then Sunday morning, also the fellowship that we have here, the breaking of donuts. But that is super important. The fellowship that we have here is super important. There was a period that there was a organization that would come in right after our class. And some of y'all were here then. And as soon as the lesson was over, they came busting in here and cleared us out, which was fine. It's not our building. But Judy and I did fight about that, because the fellowship's so important after class, before class, after class, just the people just talking and talking about the lesson. And so that Sunday morning is important. And then you can see during the week, this group got together. They were in the temple courts, they were at church, and they were in each other's homes. So we try to have components of that as well here. So let me just get, if maybe some people will tell me from that passage some blessings that they see that the people were receiving in that environment.
Praying for each other.
Okay.
Encouraged.
praying for each other, encouraging each other. So important.
Meals,
visitations, people were getting actual help and physical encouragement. Oh, anointing services, right, right. Healings, praying for health. We do that. Walking in life together. You can just feel it. Yeah, that's right. Maybe.
Lord was adding to their number.
Yeah, that's right. Lord was adding to their number. That's a very attractive dynamic for the world to see.
Well, they were in the minority.
And they were in the minority.
The rest of
right.
Did it anyway.
Right. No, that's a great point because we feel like that. Yeah, that's right. Giving a Bible, encouraging. Don't just leave it at that. Like seeing them. Yeah.
You know, John, I think one of the things when they say adding numbers, it was attractive.
Right.
There was something about it
yeah.
that was different than what
right.
people saw on the record.
Right. 100%. And I think that is a external value that can come from, I've heard it a million times, but I told Jim Holland the story of how they reached out to us for years and then the class reached out to the Hollands and all of the things that the class did. And my boss years ago saying, who has that? Who has that? He said, if I got sick, maybe two coworkers would come visit. And it is such a fantastic and attractive witness. What, when we do for each other, Tina?
Along those lines, something is different about this.
Right.
And the world sees that. And, this gal on Facebook, you probably remember seeing this, but she's the, atheist, and she's a Christian. And, she said the thing that attracted her to Christians was that there was a peace they had that she never had before she wanted. And, so, and then somebody else said, you know, what was going on in the is the enemy wants to steal our peace. That's
right.
One thing he
yep.
wants to take is our peace. And this girl was saying, go to Christ's peace.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm, interesting.
That's
true.
That's what
we yeah, it shows forth when we. Yeah. And it, yes, Joy.
I am a recipient of the love ministry that we have.
Oh, yeah.
And I get flowers every Monday. And I can't tell you what that means to me. And literally, when I moved in my apartment, I sat down and there were boxes everywhere. And I said, oh, God, I wish I'd sent some fresh flowers. Within half an hour, somebody called me. I get goosebumps. And said, Joy, we have some flowers for you. That is not only a ministry to me, but the people that are in my community.
Yeah.
They know this is.
Right.
And they are always saying, you have such a wonderful church.
Wow.
And so that is a ministry that not only touches me, but everybody
yeah.
that is around me. Because there are times yeah. when I know somebody's sick, and I take those flowers
oh.
down to them.
Hey,
and Lord. So,
yeah.
you know, that's something our church does.
Right. It's very tangible and
really
concrete.
Great.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great example. And yeah. who has that? You know, that's a... So, oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, Teresa. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
When Gina was speaking about the law of the cross, and he didn't know what he would have done outside.
Right.
And neither did he know
right. Yeah. That is a great point, Teresa. Thanks. This is a very eclectic group, which I love. But the commonality that we love because he first loved us, like we talk about that. That's what we're about.
and it's evidenced in so many ways. But that is the basic Christian, what we need to see is the blessings. And somewhere in here, let's see, it says they were, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So think of, what a blessing. That is so true, right? The Christian fellowship. I have a picture, and I hadn't showed it to Jim yet again, but it's, we were at a supper club, and we were playing a card game with our supper club, and the Dominicars and the Reisners and the Carlsons. I can't remember who was there else that night. But I have a picture of Martha explain the card game. It was the first time most of us had played, and Bingham and Martha are laughing so hard. We had so much fun and have a great picture of that where Bingham is laughing and Martha is it. So just thinking the glad and sincere hearts when Christians get together, when people get together, but we do have that added element, the commonality of the future and all the things that we have as believers. So, just to try to move on and give Roger some time here. Blessings of Christian community. We've just scratched the surface, but also the help, the help that we give each other, physical, help, the meals, all of those things, a million of them. So that part, the blessings, I put that under the heading of it's about you. Like we get blessings from that. Then we have responsibilities, which means it's not all about you. It's not all about me. And so even in that passage, one of the things that sticks out, and I take this as one of our real, real responsibilities that clearly our culture is moving away from, and that is being together. And we love having Zoom. Thank you, Bill. Judy and I use that. We're traveling and we have people who can't be here, because of health. That's fantastic. What it's for. But, I'm reading a book, a little light reading called The Great De-Churching. Has anybody read it? You read it? Yeah. It's 2023. It's current and it's giving stats about de-churching and that kind of thing. But one of the things it talks about virtual worship is what was meant as a front door for many people to be able to worship has become a back door that people are leaving. And again, this isn't what I'm saying is there is something about actually being present. And so that is an encouragement. Clearly in Acts 2, there's a whole lot of being together. And I think Roger's going to talk a little more about that. But again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here because you're here. And, but Dan Roberts just left. I always quote him. He says, you can fake caring, but you can't fake showing up. And so when we show up for each other, it is quite an encouragement. And show up. The other thing I would say before I kind of turn it over here is, we show up, sometimes that feels and sometimes it is sacrificial. One of the things this book talks about is two basic categories of people who leave the church. And I like the way he says it, it's memorable. He says you have people who are casualty de-church. Those are people who get hurt at the church through a variety of ways, and we all know them and we get it. The casualty de-church. And those people mostly in their surveys, they won't come back. They do not want to come back. They may, but they don't want to. But more of a worry is the casually de-church. We just get casual about things. It's too busy. The kids have sports. There's a million reasons that it has become casual in our interaction with each other. So it's a consumer mentality. I don't know if I'm getting enough out of that church or that Sunday school. So if it's not good for me, it's not good. And so that is the challenge. So I would say that just for the blessings that we get, the blessings of joy, gladness, the fun we have even on Sunday mornings, the sharing of
burdens, that requires the responsibilities and that requires showing up. And you have to show up to bear the burdens. I was talking to a friend about this lesson today and about bearing burdens, and he was well-meaning when he said it, but he said, ah, is there another word besides burdens? You know? No. I mean, there are other things that we share and do, but burdens is absolutely, they are heavy. When you come into a hospital room, you're helping someone, you're just sitting there. You don't know how to help. You can't fix anything. But that is lightening the burden on the other person. So it is about bearing burdens. You have to show up though. You're too busy. You're too busy to show up. You know, we all are. We all have our things. I've written down here. It's going to cost discomfort. And I've written down, I love comfort. I mean, I work hard. I deserve comfort, but community is about the discomfort of bearing the burden. So I'm going to, at this point then, turn it over to Roger Dobnikar. We're already doing this some. The class has grown so much. We're dividing the groups again. We're making sure those divisions work where we have small groups. And Roger made the mistake of saying he was looking for ministry opportunities. Since I love comfort. So, and Roger has such a heart for it, does a good job with it. So I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about that and the other things, and then you can close.
John may not be, he may be regretting after having to do the whole thing, but I appreciate John asking me to kind of lead this charge in our class. And we've had care groups for quite a while now, so this is kind of a revitalization of that process. And I sent John my outline of what I want to talk about today, and that may go awry, John, so because I very rarely stick to it. I'm one that when I speak or preach, I like to just go from the cuff. I have an idea, but it's very rare that I stick to that. Used to, when I was a teacher, you know, we were required to submit lesson plans every week, and I always made a little asterisk caveat at the bottom, very subject to change every day of the month. My students knew that very well, that I had an idea, I had a plan, let's go with it. And so that's kind of what I'm here today. And so when John asked me to kind of take this on, I thought a lot about it. And of course, like a lot of the testimonies I've heard today, I too have been a recipient of a caring group of people, be it a small group or a church. And if you think about it, our class membership is a small church. And our class membership is the size of the majority of churches in America. And that's where I came from, was a church about this size when I had my motorcycle wreck that I shared with y'all a few summers ago. And the amazing thing to me about that is I'd only been at that church for about 3 weeks when my accident happened. But they came alongside me and my family, and they loved us. They served us. I would not be here today if it was not for them. You know, God saved me in my life, but it was the church who cultivated me after that. And because they were very intentional about what they were doing for me. And so as I thought about this, what we wanted to do, what we want to do with our program, how it's going to work, I kept thinking, what is it that God wants me to do? What do you want me to say? And so I said, you know, I'm looking for a word, God, to give me about this. And John's already mentioned it a couple times today. And that word is intentional or intentionality. You know? So I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes about how that word is bedded through the weave of the whole Bible. Okay, from the beginning to the very end, everything about it was intentional. And of course, we know that the word intentional means being purposeful and mindful, and we're all there with intention. We all have good intentions, and we know what the world says about good intentions and what's faith. And there are many Christian programs that die on that road in good intentions because we don't hit the last part of this definition, which is in action. Being purposeful and mindful in action. That's what brings the intentionality about, right? Is that action part. So when you think about it, from the moment God said, let there be light, he was intentional with his plan, for what he wanted. And we know that was to have a relationship with us. And everything he created and did from that moment on was intentional to bring about the ultimate plan. And of course, we know that when Jesus arrived on the scene, who left his home, now talking about somebody being intentional, who left his place and came to earth, knowing what he was going to be doing from the very beginning. He was intentional in his ministry in two ways. First, he was intentional with his relationship with God. He had a very personal relationship, and he ministered that, he showed that to us, he demonstrated that throughout the word. But then he was also intentional with his disciples. He had a vertical intention, and he had a horizontal intention. And so he showed his disciples how to go about being ministers. Of course, but just like us, we look at them, we think they stumbled, they failed, they got back up, they did it again until they got it. And of course, so his first intention was to do everything to glorify God. And Jesus' second intention was to serve man and to show men how to serve man. Okay? And we see that in Matthew 20:28. He's kind of like our model. I'm not going to read it all, but we know that in there it says, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to do what? To serve. Yeah. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And so I think that's our model of approach right there. We don't come into this class or be a part of this class waiting to be served. We come to serve. And our class does a great job of that. Anytime there's a need arise, the class jumps in with the meal train, being there, or whatever, as a whole. But what we're hoping to do, what we're praying over with this, is by breaking it down into smaller groups, we're more intentional on a daily basis with one another. Not just when that big need arises, but on an ongoing, daily, weekly basis, taking care of one another. Okay? So, we are called to be intentional first, just like Jesus. If he's our model, we're called to be intentional in two ways. First is our intentional relationship with God. We all know that. So that's our personal time with him, growing and becoming more like him and glorifying him. But then our second part, just like Jesus, we have to be intentional on how we serve one another. Okay? And there are many facets. There are many ways to do that. Just like I said, our class does. So I got to looking at where do we see that in the Bible? And Jim Alexander has asked me to be a part of his lay pastor group. And so this last week we went through lay pastor training. And so I stole something. Did I say still in here? I'm borrowing scripture from that program. Okay? Because it hit me right smack in the face as soon as I saw it. And if you look in the Bible, it's called the one another passages. All right? You know, the phrase is used in the New Testament about 100 times, I think. But the phrase one another is used about 100 different times. And so I'm going to look at just a few ways that is broken down. If you look in, and you know, you don't have to, but I'm just going to tell you. In John 13:34-35, we find the phrase to love one another. Of course, we know that's Jesus' new commandment. To love one another. So what does that look like? How do we demonstrate love for one another? Okay? It's a great idea. And it's a great feeling. But how do we put that into action? In Galatians 5:13, it tells us to serve one another. Also, throughout that, if you go back and look at that scripture, it talks about the freedom we have in Christ. But in that freedom, we are not to be self-indulgent. We are to be slaves, is what the word says, or servants to one another, to serve one another. Galatians 6:2, it talks about bearing one another's burdens, which of course in that we're fulfilling the law of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it talks about encouraging one another with our words. In James 5:13-16, it talks about praying for one another. So just those quick six verses, we've got loving, serving, bearing the burdens, encouraging, and praying for. So that's a big command that Christ has given to us to do. If we are really, the first one says we are loving one another, then we are doing those others that we just talked about and followed. Okay? But here's the one I would like for you to really take a look at and turn with me. The 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:8-10. Now you're very lucky at this point, but there's not a big dry erase board behind me. Because when I used to teach English, middle school English, and I love the diagrams that y'all are having nightmares right now, I know. I know, but poor Lindsay's, I taught their son, and he had to go through this with me, so, but he came out all right, I think. Because by diagramming, you see connections, the relationships words have with one another. So in 1 Peter 4:8-10. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. To me, this verse right here pretty sums up what all those other verses individually have said. Okay? Let's go back there and take a look at it. First thing it talks about us to do is to love one another. And there's an important verb that comes right before that. What is it? It might be different years, but it was maintain. Maintain your love for one another. So which means to me, it doesn't just happen automatically. You've got to keep working at it to maintain it. Okay? The second part in there, be hospitable to one another. Of course, we all know what hospitable means. To love one another. What's important about that is the phrase that comes after it, which is what? Without complaining. Yeah. Do it with a grateful, happy heart. Okay? Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, we get our next one, to serve one another. And I love, before we get to serve one another, how he phrases it. Like good stewards. Typically we think about stewardship, think about what? Stewardship and money, tithing. We know it's stewardship comes in so many different areas of the church. And serving one another is just one of those. But like good stewards of what? Of the grace of God that he gives to us. We are to serve one another with whatever gift each of you have received. So I may serve in one way, you may serve in a different way. But the fact is we're still serving one another. And so that's really, when we talk about our care groups, that's what we're focusing on. Okay? We're going to get very intentional about what we're doing with our care group. So we've been meeting and met with John and Sam and Jim and Tim the other day and started looking at the groups. And how we come up with that? 22 groups. Okay? So we've got 22 care group leaders. So what I'm going to be doing is looking out for the care group leaders, encouraging, helping you all in this process, talking to, advising, whatever. So I'm going to bounce ideas off of. I'll be helping, kind of keep an eye on you, helping you all out with this process. That's going to be my new job. And looking very forward to it. All right? And then, so in each care group, we've got 5, 6, 7 people or individuals or couples in there that we're going to be taking a look at. So we're going to drill down with each of those care groups. And at the heart of all of this, I don't care what you're doing, the heart of all this is building relationships. Because if you don't have relationships, you don't have anything. Okay? Going back to my teaching days again, we used the phrase, and I'm sure you've heard it before. For teachers, I would tell them, when I became an administrator, your kids don't care how much you know until what? They know how much you care. That's right. And that's the part we want to work on in here. Just continuing to show how much we care. And again, like John said, I know I'm talking to the choir because we do a great job as a whole. Like I said, when need arises, we're there. But we want to make sure we're taking care of each other on an ongoing basis, not just waiting until that big need arises. Okay? So we've broken it down into those groups, and we're going to have a meeting with them at some point. Yeah, pretty soon about that. So how are we going to be intentional? Well, I'm kind of putting down a few ideas. For the care group leader, it's that one, number one, taking the lead. Taking the lead in building relationships with your group. It's taking the lead in making contact with your group members. In class, and on the phone, in text, Well, there's so many ways we have the ability to contact one another. Taking the lead in forming trust among your group. Going back to that part, they don't care how much you know, they know how much you care. Because we all know it's hard sometimes to share personal things in a big group. But if we have those small individual groups of 5 to 10 people, 20, 7, whatever, and we build that trust in that group, then we have somebody to go to with our personal needs if we need some extra help in discussing something or sharing a need that has quickly arisen. Okay? And then also taking the lead in sharing information as needed. Sometimes it takes that leader being willing to start sharing first, get others to share. Because also what we're trying to do in this is devise a information line, so to speak. So in other words, if a need in your life arises, it's contacting the care group leaders. And then the care group leader then will pass it on to John or Judy, something like that. Because I'm going to tell you, it's hard, and it's not right to expect John and Judy to take care of all of us. But it's too many people. And I know while they don't mind getting the phone calls, all these 200 people, it's streamlined information, so to speak. And at least correctly, if I ever start saying something different. But it's to share with your care group and your care group leader, and then they will pass that on to John or whoever they need to. I'm not saying you can't call John. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm, again, just trying to build that small body for you that you know you can go to at any time, in any way. Hey, can you help me pray about this situation? Okay? So that's kind of an idea of how leaders are going to be intentional. Then as for the rest of us and being care group members, being intentional and being active. And I'm going to tell you this, it's real easy when you're in a care group to sit back and let the leader take care of everything. Or in a class, sit back and let the leader take care of the class. It can become real easy. And that's where we get stuck with good intentions. But we got to move past the good intention and get to the part about being active with them. And so we're going to ask each member to be a willing participant within your care group. Being willing to serve one another as needed. Check. I think we got that boom right off the bat. Because we all know how to serve and we show up. But again, we're going to narrow it down into smaller groups at times. And so again, let's say, if a person in your care group has had a tragedy issue, whatever, and they need meals, they need help, your care group will be the one that will kind of take charge of that. Not saying we won't get a meal train going, but we're going to ask the people in the care group to start that for us. And then the rest will follow. Okay? Because again, it's usually come here and say, so-and-so has been hurt or so-and-so is sick. How are we going to take care of them? Or can someone get a meal train started? And that's good. But I think through this process, we'll be even more intentional with it. Okay? Also, being willing to pray for one another. Being intentional in praying for one another. And again, it's great that we have this on Sundays to go up here and talk about them. It's great that Sam and Beth put out the information every week, and that's fantastic. But I think we can build on that within our small groups and having something purposeful and know who we're praying about and what for within our group. Because there's a lot of times, I will tell you, there are things that I might not say up here that I would ask you all to pray for as a whole group. So I would be very comfortable in asking my small group about it. There are just sometimes things in our life that arise that we just don't want to share with everybody. And then I would say the last thing that came to mind in being intentional is being encouraging with us, encouraging one another to stay active and being a part of this process. Because if we don't, it will go off the wayside, just like those other good intentions. So again, I think the whole purpose with this today is to go back and jumpstart what's kind of been there. But let's give it some revitalization and let's get what we can do to make it more purposeful, which is going to make it even more a part of our ministry of this class. That we can then, we're so good at taking care of ourselves, we're ready to reach out outside of this classroom and take care of others as well. Okay? So that's kind of what's going to take place. I know John has contacted, I think, all the care group leaders, and then we'll be asking them to contact their members and to get that list of them and go from there. Don, anything else?
No, you did a great, great job. And thanks, Roger's got a heart for this. But I guess our sense is as large as this group's got there's probably 110, 120 people in here today. That's 120 individual situations. And so these care groups are going to look, they'll be, you know, crafted by what individuals are in there. They're going to look different, but the basic idea is we feel like there's so many things that we probably miss now because of just a few leaders. And so I think this will, I'm really excited about it. Get to know each other and meet the needs. So yeah. I like what you said. I appreciate your help for sure. Any questions? Yeah.
How many people are in our class now?
We have 211 on roll. And about some of those, like my mom is on roll, that she's not going to be here, but then come to class. So we have some of those, but a pretty big block of that in the year on any Sunday. And we are responsible as a group. That's how the church takes care of people. So that's a big group. And, you know, some people like anonymity, which is fine to an extent, but we need each other's needs. With a group that size, you gotta have smaller. Steve Stevenson.
Something that I heard out of this that I really appreciate is if you ever have something on your heart that you'd like people to pray for, but you don't think it kind of meets the criteria of being large enough for the whole group. You know, I think we all look at, you have people that have lost loved ones or have a serious illness on the big group list. So my thing is, I'm big enough to raise my hand in class today. And hopefully we all have friends and family that we can turn to on a daily basis and immediate need. And sometimes you don't. And then what I've heard is an opportunity where there's somebody going to be in our class that I can call and say, what? Can you just pray for this today? Or would you just pray with me like that does? And that's amazing.
That's very practical. Yeah. That's very practical. Denise.
Oh, just telling off that, I was just thinking while you were talking about how we pray for one another. It's so important to pray scripture. And if each person signed a prayer that they would like for that verse to be prayed for them. Mm-hmm. So the last care, whatever, Jeff or whatever you
care group.
Care group leader, they would have a verse for each person in their group. So, some people say, well, I don't really have anything major to be prayed for, but somebody can pray a verse.
I like that.
A lot.
Anybody else?
Well, more to come on it. Thought we'd introduce this and talk about how much we love this group. I'm encouraged every Sunday and during the week when we talk. I'm so encouraged by this group. It is amazing and I think truly unique. It's clearly the best class at Briarwood. Look into Jim because he goes to a lot of other classes. And most humble. That's my verse is, you know, have humility. But, yeah, so we love it. This is just really doing what we're already doing. You did a great job of doing that. So more to come and more questions we'll answer and create probably.
Oh yeah. Martha, help me, of course, will be right here along the side of me doing this with me. I don't have a better person to do that with. So any questions, anything you want to talk about, call one of us. We'll be glad to talk it through with you. Suggestions, ideas, of course we'll take those as well. So let's close out in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us to come together as brothers and sisters and to love one another. And Father, we do want to follow your example of that, how to love one another. And Father, we pray that we will follow your model and example that you gave us, that we will step out of our comfort zone and be willing to be a participant to serve one another, and whatever that may look like or feel like. But we just pray the Holy Spirit will lead and guide each and every one of us in this process, that we take care of each other. So as we take care of each other, we are then able to take care of more outside. Father, we thank you for the discovery class. We thank you for Briarwood, for the great witness that goes on here. And we just ask you to be with us in the rest of this day, and we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.